Christ is among us.
He is and always shall be.
Today, in our church community, we have volunteer, we'll have a volunteer appreciation picnic. Now, I know that you volunteered for this church, and I want to ask you if you have any idea what this volunteer appreciation picnic is about. I'm sure that you know what a picnic is. What's a volunteer?
A volunteer is someone that works for free.
Very good definition. A volunteer is somebody who works without expecting any reward. He or she just works out of love because he or she wishes to do so. And what's appreciation? Appreciation?
It's like, I appreciate you did this and this for the church, right?
So when we appreciate somebody, could you give me another word for appreciating?
Saying thank you,
being grateful. That's what appreciation is. So today we have the volunteer appreciation picnic, and this Sunday is dedicated, you know, in our community to all the volunteers who willingly, out of the goodness of their heart, worked for our church this year. Now, what do you think when we volunteer? Because we said that the goal of our human existence is what? What's the goal of our human existence? You remember? What's the goal of our human existence?
To be like God.
To be like God. And we try to be like God by being like our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world. He became human to reveal to us, to show us how God is, because He's God Himself. Okay? So, we try to be like Christ, and by trying to be like Christ, we become like God because He is God. Now, when we volunteer, do you think we are like Christ?
A little.
Sometimes you are when you do it out of love, but if you just do it just to be doing it, you're not.
But we said that a volunteer is somebody who does it, who works for free. But you're right, you know, because sometimes, you know, people could work for free, but grudgingly, you know, oh, I do it just, you know, because, I don't know, Father wants me to do it, but I don't really want to do it. Yeah. Or my parents, or I don't know, or maybe the principal wants me to do something for the school, but I just do it because I know that otherwise, you know, he's going to kick me out of the school or whatever. So we don't do it for that. We do it. By the way, do you know where the word volunteer comes from? It comes, the English word volunteer comes from the French word volontaire, which comes from the Latin voluntas. Voluntas in Latin, it means, you know, to wish, to desire, to want. Okay? So it's not, I have to. The meaning of the word volunteer is not, I have to do this. It is, I want, I wish, I desire to do this. So when we wish, we want to desire to do something good, to do something that is needed by the world around us, do you think we are like Christ when we volunteer?
Yes.
Yes. Do you think that Christ volunteered?
Yes.
Could you give me an example?
The bread.
When he multiplied the bread. Okay? Another example? Yes. Okay. Another example?
When he gives us Holy Communion.
When he gives us his Holy Communion, and what was his supreme volunteer act?
When he died.
When he willed to give his life, not only to work, but to give his life for the salvation of the world. Even in today's gospel, did we see our Lord Jesus Christ volunteering?
Mm-hmm.
How did he volunteer in today's gospel?
He cast the demons out of the person.
Before that's very good. He volunteered by casting out the demons. Nobody asked him, to cast out the demons, but he saw that there was a need, that this man was struggling because, you know, these demons were making fun of him. So he saw a need, and he volunteered to help this man, even if the man did not ask him because he was possessed by demons. He didn't know what he was doing. He couldn't ask, he didn't know to ask for something good. Even before that, did he volunteer? What did he do before? In fact, you know, this translation that we have in the Gospel book didn't tell us, you know, what he did before he went, you know, to the country of the Gadarenes. But in the New King James Version, it is said that he sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. Let me show you here on the map. Please come closer. So this is a map of Israel in Jesus' time. So he lived in Capernaum, in the province of Galilee, and he crossed the lake with his disciples by boat to Gergesa, or the land of the Gadarenes. Can you see? So he crossed the lake by boat, and he went to the opposite shore of the lake, and he knew that that part of the country was not inhabited by very nice people. They were not Jews, they were not religious, they were not nice people, and as God, he knew that he was going to encounter a demon-possessed man. And what did he do? Did he stay home and said, oh, I don't know about that, you know, those gatherings are not very nice people, and I heard that there is a demon-possessed man, you know, in that area. Maybe I should stay home and have a good time today.
No, because he's a caring person.
Exactly. So he volunteered willingly, knowingly. He took his disciples with him. They crossed the lake by boat. And then he encountered this man and he healed him. Now, what was the reaction of the community of the Gadarenes? Did they thank Jesus? Did they put up a volunteer appreciation picnic for Jesus because he healed one of their people?
Probably not. He got accused slightly.
Most surely not. They didn't thank him. What did they do?
They said, go away because we're simple, peaceful.
No. They said, go away because...
I'm afraid.
We are afraid because they lost their swine. Anyway, they were not thankful to Jesus. They didn't say, thank you very much, Jesus, for healing a man of our community. Thank you very much for giving a new life, a real life, to a man of our community. They said, you better leave. Now, was the man who was healed thankful? Was he appreciative?
Yeah.
Yes, he thanked Jesus. In fact, he thanked Jesus for what Jesus did to him. And what this tells us is that sometimes people don't know to appreciate what we do for them. We have very good intentions. We come out of our comfort zone to do something for people, to help the people. And sometimes the people, for different reasons, don't know to appreciate what we are doing. That happens. But should we get scandalized? Should we say, oh, I'm not going to do this again because nobody said a thank you to me?
No, but everyone else is going to do it.
Exactly. Because, you know, as we said in the beginning, we volunteer because we choose to volunteer. It is our choice. We don't do it. We don't do it for a reward. We don't do it even for a thank you. We do it because we want to be like God. Because guess what? Do you think that Jesus, after healing this man, and after the Gadarenes not being thankful to him, do you think that he said, that's it, I'm done, I'm not going to heal anybody else anymore?
No. But the bad guy wants you to think that you need someone to say thank you.
Exactly. The devil tries, you know, to get us discouraged and to say, oh, don't do that again, you know, because nobody needs to appreciate it. But we know better than that, do we?
Yes.
Like the person who got the demons, he said thank you.
He said thank you. Yes, that is very true. He said thank you, and more than that, and you know, it's very interesting. Jesus told that man, he didn't say, you know, go tell everybody what I did for you.
That's bragging.
Exactly. What did he say? What did he tell the man? Go tell everybody what God did for you. And what did the man do?
He said, everybody what?
What Jesus did for him, okay? So Jesus gave glory to God, but this man gave thanks and glory to Jesus because through him, God worked this miracle and Jesus himself was God. So let us volunteer with a good heart because we choose to be like Christ. And I want to thank you very much. What else do you want to do?
Is God, Jesus, and Christ the same thing?
Yes, same person. Our Lord, that's why we call him our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ, same person.
It seems like they're two people when you think about it, but it feels like it.
It's, the church went through a struggle, you know, when people were confused, this Jesus, two persons, this was discussed at the Third Ecumenical Council in 431 in Ephesus, okay? This heresy of having two persons in Jesus. No, we have one person, the divine person of the Son of God, but like nobody else, Jesus had two natures, okay?
He was
fully God and fully man, in one person. So he is one person, but it is very true that he has two natures, God and human. Exactly. He's not half and half. Fully God and fully man. Okay, not 50-50. Fully God and fully man.
I was thinking it's two people because of the Old Testament, the New Testament, how God creates the earth and then Jesus helps the people.
We'll talk about that another time, okay? Right now, I want to thank you very much for volunteering for our church community. I want to thank you for being an altar boy. I want to thank you for singing, for cleaning the church, and the kids at the back, you know, I want to thank you again very much, you know, for volunteering for our church. God bless you. God bless you, and may the Lord keep His love in your heart, so that for the rest of your life, you'll volunteer with joy for the glory of God. Amen. Thank you. I'm not done. Christ is among us. I want to thank you now for volunteering for our church community. I want to thank you for being like our Lord Jesus Christ, for choosing to leave the heaven of your home behind. So many times, you know, you had a choice of staying home and enjoying the comfort of your home. And so many times you left your comfort zone behind and you came to volunteer for our church community. And every time you do this, you are like Christ, who left the comfort of heaven behind, the comfort of being at the right hand of God the Father and in the love of the Holy Spirit. He left it behind and he came into this world to become one with us, to heal us, and ultimately to give his life for us. I'm talking about our Lord Jesus Christ being the supreme volunteer before he gave his life for us. According to the Gospels, there was a struggle within him. According to the Gospels, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. It was not easy for him. At the age of 33, to give his life on the cross. But he knew to add, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Willingly, knowingly, he offered his will to God the Father. He offered his human will to God the Father. Dear me, and the church You know, the children will provoke me, you know, to go a little bit into theology, and that's very good. And another debate, another huge debate in the life of the church happened in the 7th century, in the 600s, when a teaching occurred in the life of the church, the so-called teaching of monotelitism, monotelos, one will, that our Lord Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man in one person, but his human nature didn't really have a will. That his human make the human will was annihilated by the divine will. And St. Maximus the Confessor was a high-ranking employee of the emperor, stood up and said, no, that is not true. He had a human will. And he chose to offer his human will to God. In his humanity, he willed to save us. And that episode in the Garden of Gethsemane tells us very clearly that in his humanity, he struggled. He said, Father, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Now, St. Maximus the Confessor was greatly persecuted because of this. He lost his position, talking about volunteers. Again, he gave us a beautiful example of a volunteer who willingly and knowingly gave up his high-ranking position in the empire. He became a monk, and he kept on preaching and writing against this heresy, because he knew that if our Lord Jesus Christ, in his humanity, did not knowingly choose to save us, we are not saved. Because it is about offering our humanity to God. It is about offering our free will to God, and that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did in his humanity. He offered his human free will to God. And he had a real human free will. Therefore, beloved faithful, I want to thank you very much today for being like Christ and offering your free will to God and saying so many times, here I am, Lord, ready to work together with you for the salvation of the world, even if I have to leave my comfort zone behind. Even if, as in Maximus the Confessor, he was mutilated, he was persecuted, he was exiled, but he didn't give up. And about 20 years after his death, at the 6th Ecumenical Council, the church said, you know what? That crazy monk whom we persecuted and mutilated was right. And we are called to be like Christ, to offer our free will to God. It was given to us by God. And God doesn't force anybody to love him. That's why it was very important in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ that in his humanity he freely loved God. Because God wants us to freely love him, to choose to love him, to choose to work together with him without expecting anything in reward, any kind of reward. Just to say, out of love for you, out of love for the human beings around me, out of love for your creation, I choose to work together with you. Therefore, my beloved, St. Paul says in the letter to Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who works within us to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things, St. Paul says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.